Welcome to the Conscious Millionaire Show, season number 12, episode number 3151.
I'm Naveen Jain. I'm founder and CEO of Viome. And today we'll be discussing moonshots, creating a world of abundance.
Welcome to season 12 of the award-winning Conscious Millionaire Show, the world's number one podcast on conscious business and performance. With over 3,000 episodes and millions of listeners worldwide, this is where founders and entrepreneurs become ultra performers. I'm your host, JV Crum III. If you're ready to scale bigger, profit more, and create impact that truly matters, you're in the right place. This season, we're building a global movement of ultra performers, the new heroes of business who are breaking out to create bold new possibilities for the world. Subscribe now and share with your team, because this is the season you break out and become an ultra performer. Are you a founder at six, seven, even eight figures, but your profits feel too small, maybe way too small? You're not alone. Most entrepreneurs leave millions on the table. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto, Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll discover the three keys to multiply profits and build lasting wealth. Download now. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto and start profiting more now. Hi, it's JV, and I am so glad that you joined me. In fact, if this is your first time at Conscious Millionaire, huge warm welcome. I hope it's an amazing experience for you. At a little request, when you come back, and I hope you will, please bring your friends with you. If you're a longtime listener, thank you so much. I got to guarantee you have showed up for the right session. I have an amazing featured guest today. He is a moonshot entrepreneur and counterintuitive innovator. Our featured guest today is a visionary tech billionaire who is an unstoppable force. He is driving humanity towards limitless possibilities. And as founder and CEO of the health company Viome, he is revolutionizing personal health and humanity. His personal moonshot is Moon Express, which is aimed at establishing a true multiplanetary society. Help me welcome Naveen Jain. Naveen, welcome back. You've been here several times, but I am so excited. Today, we're talking about your book, Moonshots, Creating a World of Abundance. I have given this to so many private clients of mine and said, you got to read this. We're working together. I want you to have a moonshot. We're going to go for the big thing. I'm curious, though, because I'm writing a new book right now. I know what this, and you have another new book coming out. What brought you to write the book?
You know, obviously in life, you start a journey, and there's never, in this journey, people always ask you, who is your mentor? And what I really realized in life is, JV, is that life is your biggest mentor. It never stops teaching. It is that we stop learning, right? And I think as you go through the life journey, the number of lessons you learn in your life, and I wanted this to be the lessons for our children, for our great-grandchildren, someday to go look back and say, what was it that made my dad or my great-granddad do what he did? What was the thought process that went through his mind? And how to think about a problem that may look so audacious that people may think is impossible? And that's what the moonshots are all about. You know, how do you take a problem or a challenge that on the surface looks very, very difficult until you start to take one step at a time, where you start to believe when you tell someone that what is it that you're going to be doing, and people call you crazy? Because if you're telling someone what you're going to be doing and they don't call you crazy, that means you're not thinking big enough. And the reason people never think big is because they are so afraid to fail. And I think what I realized in life is there is no such thing as failure. Everything that you do, and this is the best lesson I have ever learned. And, you know, imagine this lesson actually did not come from my own life. This is my daughter teaching me this lesson about entrepreneurship. I thought, having been an entrepreneur for 30 years, I have learned everything about entrepreneurship, having done seven companies that I wanted to learn. So here I am, my daughter My daughter is 31 now. She started when she was 28, a company called Evie, which is a women's health company. And anybody who's listening to is a woman or know a woman, you should go check out Evie, Evvy. It's Edward Victor Victor Yellow. And it's a women's health company that fundamentally is trying to fill the gender gap because women weren't even allowed to be in trials, clinical trials. So every drug a woman take has never been tested on women, does not work on women, and women are diagnosed with the same disease as men and diagnosed 8 years later. So she went on to change this fundamental gap, gender gap. Now, here I am when she starts a company, and I ask her, and I say, "Sweetie, how is your company doing?" And she looks at me and said, "Dad, you know nothing about entrepreneurship, do you?" And it's like, "I'm sorry, what do you mean by that?" He said, "Dad, entrepreneurship is simply about experimentation. And I am at this point simply experimenting to figure out what is it that's going to work. I don't have a company yet. The company is going to come out of my experimentation." And what I learned from it is that every time you do something, there are only outcome A and outcome B. When outcome A happens, you do B and C. You do C and D. And when outcome B happens, you do E and F. That's all you're doing. That means every single experiment has outcome. There is no success. There is no failure. And that is, if you can go change your mindset to thinking that there is no success and failure other than outcome, and every outcome is now a stepping stone to the next experiment. And it doesn't matter whatever the experiment you did, it has the next set of experiments you have to do. And that changes everything, how you look at life.
Well, you know, I think related to that is you talk sometimes about a non-expert advantage, that
Yes.
starting a company in which you're not can be advantage. Is that an, a lot of people go, "Oh, I can't do that because I don't know."
In fact, that is your biggest asset. The day you become expert in anything, guess what happens? Now you have expert knowledge, and now you have taken that knowledge as a foundational truth. That means you will never be able to challenge the foundation of everything that all, including every expert, including you, have taken it for granted. So not knowing allows you to challenge the foundation of everything that you can actually now can recreate and rebuild. That means if you are an expert, you can be 10% better than anybody in the world, but you'll never be 10 times better than someone in the world because you're not able to challenge the foundation. And that's why there's no two companies I've ever started that are in the same field, because I believe the biggest asset I have is that not knowing anything about that industry allows me to look at that problem in a different perspective. And I think, JV, one of the things I was going to share with you is that the thing I learned about how you take audacious ideas and how do you implement them. But let's leave that for the next set of questions.
Well, you know, I'm curious because I know this about you because I did a little research and we've done several shows, is that while you want that non-expert edge, you
Yes.
also only do things that are purpose-driven, that you have a
That's
deep
correct.
passion for, you really care for. What do you think is so important about? Because that's part of the Conscious Millionaire Principle. I help every entrepreneur get clear about purpose. Why did you bring it into this? Why is it missed? Put it in.
So I think now that you brought me to this, I'm going to now give you the framework. So I, having started every company I start, and I would tell someone that anybody who's listening to it, any project, any company that you start that's worth doing, ask yourself three questions. Why this? Why now? Why me? Why this is a really simple thing. You say, "God forbid I am actually successful in solving the problem that I set out to solve. Would it help a billion people live a better life?" Now, to answer your question, the reason for doing that is not because you are a philanthropist. You are actually a capitalist, because you should know anytime you can build any product, any service that helps a billion people live a better life, you can create a $100 billion company. But you never wake up in the morning and saying, "What should I do to create a $100 billion company?" Making money is simply a byproduct of doing things that improve people's life. That means every day when you wake up and say, "What can I do that will make other people's life better?" What you're doing is creating a company that becomes a long-term sustainable company, because every customer whose life is better because of you, they become your loyal customer. And that's the reason why you want to start a company that does a tremendous impact on the society, because those are the companies that become the biggest companies in the world.
I totally agree with you. And I'm curious, why do you think not just so many
many people in our society, world society, global society, but entrepreneurs themselves are just living in scarcity rather than abundance thinking.
And I think the reason for that is we have been taught the value comes from scarcity. Whereas I really believe that scarcity is how people have put there in a mindset, the value comes because some things are rare. And in fact, I would tell you that to create a massive, audacious company, you have to start thinking about what if the things are in abundance, right? And the value is going to come from using that abundant things that you're doing to create a massive value for the fellow humans, right? And the reason for that is, imagine people today say, hey, we need to focus on pick a thing you want, a climate change, because people are going to need more and more energy. And we have to start thinking about how to think, start using less of what we have. So imagine someone to come and say, look, we have less oxygen in the atmosphere. JV, would you mind not breathing as much? And can you start to breathe only once every 10 seconds. And he said, fine, I can do that. Well, it's really scarce now. Can you do every 20 seconds? He said, fine, I'll do it. Now it's really scarce. Can you do once every 30 seconds? Maybe you can. And now you start getting to once a minute, you're thinking, I can't live like this. So that if you really want the society to improve, you can never come from the world of scarcity. You ask yourself, what if I can create so much abundance of oxygen that everyone can breathe every second, every microsecond if they want, because there is plenty of abundance out there. And the scarcity creates the wars. Today, people fight over what? I mean, if you look at in around the world, people are fighting over. What are they fighting over? Land, water, energy, right? Now imagine you look up in the universe, where is the scarcity of land? We are not even a speck of dust, even on our own solar system. Our solar system is invisible in our galaxy. Our galaxy is invisible in our universe, and our universe may be invisible in this multiverse. We could be living anywhere other than our mindset that says the only place we can possibly live is on planet Earth. That's the scarcity mindset. But if you believe you can live anywhere, where is the scarcity of land? Where is the scarcity of water? Every planet out there. In fact, most of the waters on planet Earth came from these meteors that are full of water. And you talk about energy. Our solar, our sun gives more energy every hour than we use in a whole year. So where is that scarcity? Scarcity is simply in our mind that we believe these things are scarce, not because they are scarce.
Yeah, but I have a three-part formula. I want to now mindset, yeah. Strategy, execution.
Yes.
And I use that in my new book, Achieve Your Impossible, because those are the only three kinds of shifts you can make that will ever create more money, more impact, more success, more health. It doesn't matter what you want. And every one of them starts with a mindset shift. So what is the mindset of a moonshot? So if an entrepreneur is listening today, how do they incorporate that mindset so they can create their own?
What a great question, JV. It comes from thinking differently than anyone else has thought before. If you look at the same problem and you're asking the same question, then you're solving the same problem. Asking a right question is really how the world changes. So for example, if you say, I want to solve a world hunger problem. Every expert will tell you that means you have to increase the yield of the crop. You have to reduce the wastage during transportation. But no expert will say, why do we eat food? The minute you ask the question, why do we eat food? You realize that you need energy and you need nutrition. What are the different ways can you get energy? And suddenly you open up the possibilities that you could get energy from photosynthesis. You can get energy from radiation. And suddenly the problem of growing food has nothing to do with the food. It becomes the possibility of how to get more energy inside this human body, right? And suddenly the problem is so different and so many different possibilities. And this is really where entrepreneurs' mindset is about asking the right set of questions, right? So if you ask the question that says, hey, how do we improve human health? And you're going back to how people have been thinking about human health, then you will never be able to solve that problem because everyone has been thinking the same way. When you start to believe that human health comes from anything beyond what you are actually the DNA or your ancestry or the genes you have, you start to say, well, that means I have a control over my health, not my great grandparents who actually control my health.
You know, it's interesting. I'm reflecting as you're talking about that, Naveen, that this going back to the whole concept of non-expert advantage, because that's really what you're talking about. And I'm thinking about how many courses there are out there for beginning entrepreneurs that I think are just wrong. And so one of the things that is typically said is you've got to choose to do something in an area you're an expert. And kind of putting that together with moonshots, it seems like if you want to build, I'm going to reframe it. If you want to build a small business, choose your expertise. If you want to build a big business, choose your non-expertise. What is a strategy someone should implement, an entrepreneur listening today, so that they can go out there and get?
So again, I think, first of all, you said it so beautifully. I'm going to steal that. If you want to build a small business, be an expert in that business. And you can be the best cupcake maker if you want. That's awesome. But if you want to build something that's going to change the way humanity is going to live in the future, you better start thinking like a non-expert. The strategies for them are very simple. Ask a different question than everyone else in the industry is asked. And when it comes to actually implementing that strategy, you still want a whole bunch of people who know what to do. So they can be expert in their own field, but your job is to challenge them. But why can't it be done this way? Why would this not work? And that challenging the experts, and they will tell you that it won't work because I tried that before. It won't work. And by the time you keep pushing them, why? Why? And they eventually they'll come back while they're explaining themselves. Let me think about it. Maybe it just might work. Right.
How do moonshot thinkers, because you've worked with a lot of people, you know, disseminating this through Diamandis and Singularity.
Of course.
How do moonshot thinkers execute differently than non?
So beautiful, beautiful. So, you know, remember this, moonshots are these audacious ideas. And essentially people get so paralyzed when they say, oh my God, it's such a big idea. How do I do that? And the trick really is to take that big idea, you break it down into a small chunk. So if you said, hey, JV, we want to go live on Venus, right? You don't say, oh, I don't know how to do that. You simply say, what, not how, what problems have to be solved for me to be able to live on Venus? Number one, I have to be able to leave the Earth gravity to get to the, you know, Earth orbit. Got it. Go from Earth orbit all the way to the Venus orbit. Got it. You have to be able to land on Venus. Got it. And then create a habitat. There are only four problems. And it's the first problem is already solved. We know how to do that. It's called rocket. Second problem, going from Earth orbit to Venus orbit. Well, we have taken horizon that has gone beyond our solar system. So we know how to go long distances, but we haven't taken humans yet. Maybe there is some additional set of incremental changes we have to do, but that's something we know how to do. Landing on Venus. Well, we landed on Mars, three different ways, a bouncing ball, a parachute, and a crane. Well, maybe the atmosphere is slightly different and we'll find a slight change to it, but we do know how to land. And then it comes down to how are we going to create the habitat and live there? And then it comes back to the same thing. How do you ask the right set of questions instead of figuring out how to grow the food or how to protect the humans living on the radiation? What if you can change the human genetics, right? So there are bacteria that are growing in radioactive nuclear waste and thriving. What does that mean? That means they're figured out how to protect their genes from radiation and use radiation as a source of energy. What if you take the genetic material from these bacteria, use CRISPR in vivo to modify our own genes? Now, suddenly we are radiation resistant. We don't need to live inside some cave. And by the way, we use radiation as a source of energy. Honey, do you want to go out and get some radiation instead of eating a pizza? Right? And suddenly the whole world had changed. And you take in this audacious problem simply by breaking it down to smaller pieces of it. And then you say, which is the problem I'm going to focus on solving, which is the toughest problem?
We're here with Naveen Jain. The book is Moonshots, Creating a World of Abundance. We'll be back in 60 seconds. That's right, with the 24-hour challenge and the lightning round questions. Stay tuned.
Are you a founder at 6, 7, even 8 figures, but your profits feel too small, maybe way too small? You're not alone. Most entrepreneurs leave millions in profits on the table. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto, Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll discover the 3 exact keys to expand margins, multiply profits, and build lasting wealth. Because if you're like most founders I meet, you want more than revenue. You want true financial freedom and the impact it allows you to make.
I'm J.V. Crum III, and after two exits and $75 million in revenues, I've learned this truth. Profits are the fuel for freedom, growth, and impact. The Manifesto shows you exactly how to claim more of each of these. And as a listener to Conscious Millionaire, you get special access today. So act now. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. That's right, consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Again, go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Download your manifesto today and start profiting more now. Welcome back. I'm J.V. Crum III. I'm the host of the Conscious Millionaire Show. Our featured guest today, Naveen Jain, author of Moonshots, Creating a World of Abundance. And I want to address you right now. I want to thank you for showing up. Not for me, not even for Naveen, for yourself. Because that's what Conscious Millionaire is all about. It's about you showing up to become the ultra performer that you are, to make your difference in the world, to create wealth, and to live a life that is far beyond what most people even dream about. That's what we're about at Conscious Millionaire. I want to especially thank all of our friends and listeners in New York, New York, and Seattle, Washington. And that's right, it's time for the 24-hour challenge. Naveen, what's the challenge?
I would say is when you wake up in the morning, find 5 minutes to do the gratitude. That means think for what you have in life and people that who have brought you to the point where you are. And if you can do a 5 minute of gratitude every single day, it will change your life.
I will second that because I am a cobbler with shoes. So I create empowerment audios for myself, not just for my clients. But then I journal for 5 minutes about gratitude.
Yep.
Because I think gratitude puts you in a completely different energetic state.
It does.
You want to receive more, you got to be grateful about what you already received. I absolutely think that's an imperative for everybody's life. And now it's time for the lightning round. I'm curious, your performance mindset, Naveen, I want to look inside your performance mindset that allows you to find all the best business opportunities that you like to go.
So I would say that health, everyone has told you that health is your wealth. And the point is, if you don't have a good health, nothing else matters. Because people who are sick have only one wish, and people who are healthy have many wishes. So all I can tell you is that my life had changed obviously I'm not trying to promote, but Viome has really changed my life. Analyzing yourself, understanding what's happening inside your body, finding exactly the foods that actually are good for you, because even the food that you may think are healthy for you may actually be harming you. I used to eat spinach and broccoli and a lot of the foods, the avocado that I thought were really good for me. And what I found out was they were actually harming me. I changed my diet and now I can eat those food. But until then, my body was inflamed. I lost 25 pounds. I have now more energy. My biological age, by the way, I'm now turning 66 in September. My biological age is now down to 33.
Well, and Viome is the company we talked about on an earlier show. And I just want to congratulate you. Send people a kit. They take some biological samples. You send it back and then you send them customized supplement. Maybe nobody else in the world gets zapped.
That's good. Yeah. It's made just for you, custom made for you.
What's a strategy? This one's going to be an easy one. What's a strategy? Good.
I think the best strategy you can see is to really start focusing on how you're going to help your customers. Never focus on how are you going to make more money. And I really think most entrepreneurs go wrong. They try to figure out what's my next channel for my profit. What's my next channel for my revenue? Instead of figuring out what is it that your customer need to actually get better. If you can make their life better, that is the product you should be building today.
Well, you know, our belief structure, when you're writing a book, Achieve Your Impossible, one of the great things, as you know, about writing a book is the transformation you go through as the author in writing.
Exactly.
It's probably far more valuable than anybody who ever reads it. So we have belief structures that when we look in the world and we go, oh, that's impossible. And then a different belief structure, and we go, oh, well, what is the belief that empowered you to ability?
Well, you know, as I think many smart people have said, if you believe it is impossible for you and not no one else, right? So if you believe it is possible or if you believe it's not possible, you're right. It is for you. Both of them are true. So once you believe something is possible, what's amazing thing that happens is every single person you meet suddenly start to become your ally. You have to believe internally and it has to matter to you. And I think that's really the key in life is to do something, not because it's simply your passion. passion is for hobbies. If you truly want to change the world, you have to be obsessed about solving that problem. Not obsession for money, not obsession for things, not obsession for people. Obsession to solve the problem that you care about. And how do you know it is you're obsessed about it? When you wake up in the morning and you don't jump out of the bed, then whatever it is you're doing is not your obsession.
I absolutely agree. I've been getting up at 5:30 in the my personal practice, I'm going to ask you one of yours, is that recently I've been, you know, returning and meditating more, 2 hours a day, hour in the morning, hour in the evening. It has given me the ability to observe my day as opposed to getting caught in the day. And I can make much more superior decisions that way. What is one of your, allows you to be an...
I think I would second it. I don't do it for an hour, but I do spend every day I wake up, I spend 10 minutes meditating, 5 minutes gratitude, and then I spend 2 hours actually just learning. And I find different subjects, different things. I read a whole bunch of research papers every single day. I read at least 4-5 books a month. I'm a big audiobook person. I'm walking and I am listening to the audiobook. I am just, you know, to me, the best way, if you want to change your life, is to learn from other people's mistakes. That means reading books, learning from people, and just always being that humble and saying, every single person, you can learn something new. So every person you meet, ask them for advice.
Well, I agree with you. Moonshots, creating a world of abundance. I want you to know, the reason I wanted to do this show on Ed is that my high-end private clients, this is the only book I have ever bought and given private client. Because I think it is that valuable to change people's thinking. What is a book?
You know, I really personally enjoyed reading the, you know, gentleman who actually died, Clayton Christensen, who was a, you know, who wrote The Innovator's Dilemma. But his book that I really enjoyed was not that. It was really, How Will You Measure Your Life? And that changed my thinking about, you know, there is never being 99.99% honest. Either you are 100% honest, because once you take one tiny bit of digression, there is no going back. It's just a slippery slope. And next thing you know, just this time, just this, and it's never a slip. So you have to be 100% have integrity that's 100%, not 99.99%.
Well, and you know, I'll just call people out because you and I were talking about this. I figured out about 1 in 50 people who pitch. I tend to ask for referrals, like from you. We've already talked about somebody you'll send for the show. But about 1 in 50 of the pitches get in, but it's for two reasons. One, they apparently never read the word conscious, even in any dictionary. And it is called Conscious Millionaire Show. And the other one is the person pitching me in the first paragraph cuts and pastes Conscious Millionaire in a different type style. And they're telling lies about, oh, we listen to your show and we love it. And it's cut and paste. And I'm going, you're not even telling me the truth, and you want to get on my show, and my highest values are growth, honesty, and integrity. And they've been that way since my 20s. I don't think they're going to change. So I think it's making your point, because also in marketing, I think this is a big area that people lie in marketing. And I'm going, oh my God, at some level, they know you're lying. But if you're lying and they catch you lying, how are they ever going to trust you or even want to do business with you? You know, I'm curious, you're constantly building the big, the moonshot. What's the biggest?
I think the biggest challenge every business finds itself sooner or later is how to continue to grow and continue to grow with the same set of values that you have had. So without ever compromising what you stand for and continuing to grow. So our biggest challenge really is awareness. As soon as people find out, they actually can be empowered to take control of their own health. They want to do the Wyom test, but just people don't even know we exist. So our number one challenge really is people knowing we exist, because every single time I'm speaking at an event, more than half the people buy, because as soon as they say, oh my God, I didn't know I could do this. You're telling me the I thought I was eating healthy, but the food that were healthy may not be healthy for me. Holy shit, I want to find out right now. And you're telling me the supplement that I'm taking, I'm spending hundreds of dollars a month, may actually be harming me. Why don't you just make the something that works for just for me? And that is the thing. So, I mean, challenge really is creating awareness.
If somebody wants...
You can find me on any social media. You can go to LinkedIn and send me a message. You can go to Instagram and send me a message. I am on almost every social media. And please do find me, and please do let me know how I can be helpful to you. And JV, before I leave, I just want to thank you for what you stand for who you are, and everyone who's listening to it should know, here is a man who dedicates his life to making your life better. So please do me one single favor. Drop him a line. Let him know how much we appreciate what he does.
I appreciate that, Naveen. And the final question has become our trademark question. I've been asking it now 12 seasons.
My legacy will be actually our children doing amazingly great, audacious things. And as every parent, you know, your biggest joy comes from watching your children do some amazing things. So it's not just us leaving the better world for our children, it's also leaving the better children for the world who are still hungry and starving for intellectual curiosity and creating a world of abundance and constantly going out and creating moonshots that make people's lives better.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us, because Naveen and I, this week we had a conversation, then we didn't have time to do the show, so we rescheduled it. But you know, if Naveen and I have a conversation and you aren't here, it's not called a podcast. You're the part that makes it a podcast. You're the important part. And I want to thank you again for showing up today for yourself. I look forward to connecting with you on the next Conscious Millionaire. And Naveen, thank you so much for being
here. Thank you, Jamie. Really appreciate you.
Are you a founder at 6, 7, even 8 figures, but your profits feel too small, maybe way too small? You're not alone. Most entrepreneurs leave millions on the table. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto, Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll discover the 3 keys to multiply profits and build lasting wealth. Download now. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto and start profiting more now.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Media Podcast Radio Network. The host, producer, and owner of the show, distributor, and broadcast media make no claims that strategy information discussed in the show will result in profits, result in losses. The opinions and advice from the host guests do not represent those or staff, management, or broadcast of the show. No legal, accounting, or financial or health advice is made in the advice of counsel on matters related to financial investment matters for advisors. Always consult your licensed health advisor prior to making changes in your diet, program, implementing a health strategy discussed, and all information provided may be situation. As always, take responsibility and action. Take responsibility.
Welcome to the Conscious Millionaire Show, episode number 3142.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dan Lazar. I'm the co-founder of HeroX. On today's show, we're going to talk about how to scale internationally.
Welcome to season 12 of the award-winning Conscious Millionaire Show, the world's number one podcast on conscious business and performance. With over 3,000 episodes and millions of listeners worldwide, this is where founders and entrepreneurs become ultra performers. I'm your host, JV Crum III. If you're ready to scale bigger, profit more, and create impact that truly matters, you're in the right place. This season, we're building a global movement of ultra performers, the new heroes of business who are breaking out to create bold new possibilities for the world. Subscribe now and share with your team, because this is the season you break out and become an ultra performer. Are you a founder at 6, 7, even 8 figures, but your profits feel too small, maybe way too small? You're not alone. Most entrepreneurs leave millions on the table. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto, Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll discover the 3 keys to multiply profits and build lasting wealth. Download now. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto and start profiting more now.
Hi, this is JV Crum III, and I am so excited you joined me, because you know this is more than a podcast and syndicated radio show. It's an entrepreneurial training, especially for you. And if this is your first time checking out Conscious Millionaire, big warm welcome. Thank you so much. I hope it's amazing for you. If you're a longtime listener, thank you for checking out this special featured episode. Either way, you can subscribe absolutely free by going to ConsciousMillionaireShow.com. Now, help me welcome our featured guest. He's a former tennis player, founder of Tennis Hero, Covers Hero, and is currently the CEO and co-founder at HeroX. He's best known for successfully raising his first round of investment in Shark Tank Romania, being named 30 Under 30 by Forbes, and being a servant for social causes inspired by his Baha'i faith. My guest today, Dan Lazar. Dan, welcome to Conscious Millionaire.
Thank you, JV. I really appreciate that.
Well, you know, this is the power of Zoom. There you are in Romania. Here I am in Denver, Colorado. And, you know, we actually met before this and had an opportunity to get to know each other. I love what you're doing, doing a lot of work with air domes. But you have really cracked code on how to scale internationally and have done things that you yourself thought were impossible initially, which is what I love. because mindset is an important aspect of growing your business. So let's jump in and first of all, talk about your air domes, because you've created a way for businesses to expand. For you were a tennis player, for tennises, you know, to have, you know, year round tennis playing, even if you're in Aspen, Colorado. Tell us about the air domes and how you created that business.
Yeah, the air dome business actually started from a need that I had. So in my first company, Tennis Hero, this was a tennis club. And during the winter season, unless you have an air dome or a covering solution, then your business generally disappears for 6 months of the year. So I had this issue where our club needed an air dome. I did the first air dome for myself, and then I started to do them for other people. Then I started to do them all across Romania. Then I expanded into Europe, and we recently sold our first one in the US. So I feel like it's a business where I had the pain that I'm trying to solve for other people, to help them bring their venue indoor through an air dome.
What is the fascination with air domes? I mean, I see them in Colorado. There are various places that have them for that exact reason. But how is it that they ended up being something you could scale internationally? Because that's really how you started being an international business.
That's a very good question. I've always had a vision that expanding internationally would be a way to go. However, before the pandemic, to be honest, it didn't really work out. I feel like people had a bigger need to be face-to-face, to sort of have an office in each country, and that would have been a very costly exercise for us. After the pandemic, people are more comfortable to doing business on Zoom. Probably we do a better job at presenting ourselves online, and we were able to break this glass ceiling that was above us and we're able to break internationally, to go international. I feel like there's three reasons why somebody would not buy from you if you're not present in their country. One, they either don't trust you, so you need to manage their expectations in terms of trust, do a better job at showing social proof, at sharing testimonials from your clients. Secondly, if they don't have the budget, and we started to do financing through different financing partners in each country. And last but not least, if they generally don't have a need for your product. So I feel like if you can prove to them that they have the need, that you can help them finance this if they don't have the funding, and that you're a legit company through social proof and testimonials, then I feel like you're breaking those constraints that would otherwise hinder you from expanding internationally.
Well, you hit on something that I think is very important, that isn't directly about international scaling, but it's about business in general, and that you have to help sometimes the client realize they actually have a need they don't know about. How do you go about that?
I try to do a calculation of how much money they're losing by not having a covering facility. So if they have a club and they can only operate the club 6 months per year, and an air dome would allow them to operate for 12 months per year. And there's a lot of examples like this: tennis clubs, volleyball clubs, soccer clubs that are really hindered by not having an indoor facility. Then you sort of, I ask them, okay, what's your revenue for those 6 months? Imagine how much nicer would it be if you would have that revenue for 12 months per year. So then when they realize how much money they're losing on, then the price that it costs to acquire an air dome suddenly seems a lot smaller, because they might recuperate that investment in a year, in 2 years. It's a short return on investment, basically.
Now, in your situation, you're selling a physical product. And when you scaled internationally, because there are a lot of people who have digital products, services, and in some ways that's easier to scale, did you need to have a physical presence, like a store or an office in each of those countries?
Not really, but to be honest, I didn't even know how I'll expand internationally. Therefore, I did a lot of work in a lot of directions, and in a way, it seemed like all of them actually worked. So we did cold calling, cold text messaging, cold emailing, we attended a few trade shows, we ran paid ads. So because I was serious about this and I didn't know what will work, I did everything on a large scale in a way. So we were sending, I don't know, close to 50,000 emails each month. We had somebody full-time that was doing cold calling. And I feel like that's how we were able to do it, by doing everything. But I guess to better respond to your question, I feel like trade shows were the main thing, because even though we may not have a full team in the US, because we attended a few trade shows and people were seeing that we were present there and they were able to get a feel for us, then that was how we broke the ice in the U.S. by attending a few trade shows.
So what I'm hearing, and I'm curious if it was true for all the countries, is that you don't necessarily have to have a physical office, but you do need to have some kind of a physical presence so that people see you inside the country, and a trade show is one way to do that.
Exactly. It depends a little bit how far you are. So a company from the Netherlands had confidence to buy from us because we had a reference in Scotland. So even though we don't have an office in Netherlands, because they had a reference quite close by, they were able to gain confidence and buy due to that reference. So in a way, in our business, even though the equipments, the items that we sell are not our property, they can be our showrooms. So I can leverage those to be able to sell more in each country. And to a certain degree, I feel like each sale sort of brings another sale, because if you're in Rhode Island, as an example, where we're selling our first one, even though everybody in Rhode Island, when they're buying an heirloom, they're probably going to visit our heirloom. They're going to see that it's probably the best in the city, and it will be an easier second sale.
Okay. Yeah. And so in your case with the physical product, they actually get to experience the product by being able to see that there's something there. And then it doesn't feel like such a risk So I think the hardest sale then, from what you're telling me, is the first sale, because they don't have a reference point that's inside their country.
Exactly. It feels like the process of selling is three times easier after the clients visit a reference.
That makes perfect sense.
Not only that they gain more confidence in us as a company, but also gain more confidence in the product itself. They feel like, okay, if this product is here and everybody's happy, then it's probably a good idea for us to do it. And why try to work with somebody else when we can work with this company that already made the client happy in our area?
You know, I'm curious as to, if you were advising someone, another entrepreneur, whether it was physical or service, I mean, there's obviously different things, but what would be three things that someone needs to look out for and make sure they've got covered when they're wanting to go international?
I feel like trade shows is definitely a must. It's even though the quality and the quantity of leads might not be the best, that's how we generated the best leads. So maybe we generated 100 leads, that 80 of them were not amazing, but 20 of them were amazing, and actually there were like two or three buyers within those leads that we generated through a trade show. Definitely paid ads, I think it's also a must.
And now, are you talking about digital paid ads or print paid ads?
Digital paid ads. So I'm actually specifically talking about Google search.
Okay.
We've done a lot of ads in the past. I've tested everything. There's nothing that brings the quality of the leads like Google search does. So not display, none of what the other channels, just max out what you can do on Google search. And I guess last but not least, to not discount what you can do in a cold way. So cold emailing, cold calling, cold, especially cold emailing and cold text messaging, because those can be automated. They don't take a lot of your time.
You know, I'm curious on the Google ads, did you put anything in them in terms of a keyword research that included the country name? And did that get more traction, or did you not include the country?
I don't recall including the country name, but we did a lot of research on the keywords that we were using. And Google has this category, I think it's called search terms, where it sort of guides you what terms you need to add and what terms maybe you don't need to add. And I guess in this direction, what we've done, we started working with somebody extremely knowledgeable in the field that made millions for their clients. And that enabled us to further tailor what we're doing. So we're generally connecting each conversion that we get to a keyword. So know exactly, if I talk to somebody that is a lead but is not a qualified lead, then I can stop that keyword.
Got it. Okay. So now I want to shift, because one of the things that at Conscious Millionaire that I present, it's the next book that I'm writing, is that there are three performance areas that account for 100% of your success and the 100% of your growth. And that's mindset, it's strategy, and it's execution. From your experience of expanding internationally, I'd like for you to address, what's the mindset that you had to achieve? And I know that you had to overcome some of your own limiting belief that you couldn't do it, in order to do it?
I feel like in my situation, it was extremely instrumental, the fact that I got to meet in person people that did outrageous things. I met the first Romanian that listed the company on the New York Stock Exchange. I met the biggest property developer in my country. I met a lot of smart people around the world that did amazing things that to me, to a certain degree, seemed impossible. And that gave me confidence that perhaps I could also achieve impossible things, such as expanding internationally as a Romanian company. So I feel like that's how I broke the glass ceiling above my head in terms of the limiting beliefs that I had around the subject.
So if I heard you correctly, you broke through that glass ceiling by associating with people that were on the other side of the glass ceiling, and then you could do it as well. What about strategies? What's something you've learned about taking a strategic approach in order to scale internationally?
Something that I think we did good in this direction was actually getting a mentor in this regard. There's a person that I collaborate with that has a business. He'll probably sell it close to $100 million in as an exit number. And because he did a good job growing a company in the US, targeting tennis related things, tennis equipment, tennis lessons, he helped me a lot in terms of improving our sales flow, how we promote online, what are the things that we do in terms of automated messaging. I think he played a key role in helping us scale.
Excellent. And then what about execution? What have been your insights about executing to get to the result you want in this process of learning to scale internationally?
I feel like somebody gave me this advice and I implemented this advice, and I feel like a lot of people could implement what I'm about to say. I wanted to be able to do an amazing job from the beginning. I didn't want to do trial and error. And what I've done, I've started adding on LinkedIn former employees of my competitors. I've sent them a friend request, started having a chat with them and explored if we can collaborate together. And I came across some amazing, amazing people this way that are helping us scale. As an example, the biggest serdom company in the US, they have a guy. He was the sales and marketing director for 12 to 13 years. They were supposed to make him a CEO. Because he didn't make him a CEO, he sort of resigned. And now he's working with us. So I feel like through him, we have an amazing, amazing asset that will help us scale a lot faster than we would be able, would have been able to do it without him.
Yeah, so this is an interesting approach. In the United States, so many companies look to, I'm just going to say, steal, get someone to leave and come to them. And you took a different approach. You said, I'm going to find the people who've already left, and now they're looking for something else and see if we can do something together to expand my own company.
Yeah. I feel like I will have a better chance of collaborating with somebody if they leave the company. That could be an approach as well, but that's not something that I've done so far, targeting actually employees of my competitors.
Yeah, no, I actually think this is a better way to strategize and execute, because you already have somebody who has the knowledge. You don't have to convince them to leave. They chose to leave. And now they're looking for their next opportunity as well. So it's a perfect opportunity for both of you to match. And you don't have to convince anyone to leave. They're looking to move forward, and you could be that move forward piece. We're here with Dan Lazar. He is the co-founder at HeroX, the CEO of HeroX. And we'll be right back with more of Conscious Millionaire.
Are you a founder at 6, 7, even 8 figures, but your profits feel too small, maybe way too small? You're not alone. Most entrepreneurs leave millions in profits on the table. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto, Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll discover the 3 exact keys to expand margins, multiply profits, and build lasting wealth. Because if you're like most founders I meet, you want more than revenue. You want true financial freedom and the impact it allows you to make. I'm J.V. Crum III, and after 2 exits and $75 million in revenues, I've learned this truth. Profits are the fuel for freedom, growth, and impact. The manifesto shows you exactly how to claim more of each of these. And as a listener to Conscious Millionaire, you get special access today. So act now. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. That's right, consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Again, go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Download your manifesto today and start profiting more now.
Welcome back. I'm J.B. Crum III, host of the Conscious Millionaire Show. My featured guest today is Dan Lazar, co-founder at HeroX. And that's right, it's time for the 24-hour challenge. Dan, what's the challenge you have for everyone listening today?
A great thing to do for most entrepreneurs would be to go now on Upwork, which is a platform for finding freelancers. Search for the keyword paid ads or Google search or Google ads and so on, and try to find a person that can help them run their paid ads in a better way that has made ideally over $1 million from Upwork by helping other entrepreneurs like them. I think this is a small hanging fruit that a lot of people could do to improve and speed up the process of scaling.
So I have a distinction here. So because I'm asking the question, if you're listening, you might be asking it as well. Is it that they've generated at least $1 million in paid revenue for their clients, or they've been paid $1 million?
They've been paid $1 million.
And how do you determine that?
There's a simple way of filtering. So you can probably filter on the website and find people that have made more than 10,000. And then if you go up to page 10, you'll find somebody that made over $1 million. I think on the platform, there won't be more than 10 people that got paid more than $1 million to run ads for other people. But if they got paid $1 million, then they are definitely the best in the world.
Got it. And I absolutely believe that the best way to go is you just get the top talent and don't try to figure it out yourself. It's cheaper to hire the top talent to get you the result you want, right?
Definitely.
So, yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to give a shout out, and you know what time it is. It's time for me to tell you I love you and care about you. I genuinely want the best for you. I want you to be wealthy. I want you to get up in the morning and you do something that you think matters and impacts the world. And I want all that to produce a happy and fulfilled life for you. I want to especially thank all of our listeners and friends in Hague in the Netherlands and Glasgow in Scotland. And now it's time for the Conscious Millionaire Expert questions. And we've touched on mindset, but now I want to look at a different angle of it. Dan, what's the mindset you've developed that helps you discover the absolute best business opportunities for you?
Very good question. Something that I've started to do recently is align better my actions and the content that I consume to my goal. So my goal is to become a billionaire from the businesses that I'm doing. And therefore, now I'm only consuming content where I'm listening or watching billionaire talk. This is a small thing, but this helps me limit my distraction. So I feel like I can learn from everybody, but I can learn a lot more from the people that have achieved what I'm about to achieve.
I'm curious, because I have to ask, because I know that you're about to ask this question yourself. Is it that you read books they've written? You watch YouTube they've done? How do you tap into their
Two or three things. Definitely number one is podcasts. Secondly, is books. And third of all is YouTube videos. So there's an incredible YouTube video that just came out with Jeff Bezos. It's his first podcast forever. He never did a podcast before. I feel like I've watched that already 3 times.
So you're not talking about podcasts they're running. You're talking about them being a guest on podcast.
Yes, yes. There's not a lot of billionaires that run podcasts.
I've had billionaires on my show, but they're not running a podcast. You know, well, talking about the billionaire, you know, I have a very special question for you. If you were going to reach that end goal of being a billionaire within 10 years, what's the problem that you would solve for humanity as a product or service? And you got to be on a big scale. And what is some area of yourself that you've yet mastered as a person or as an entrepreneur?
The number one thing that I want to contribute to is education. I feel like education and the process that we educate ourselves nowadays is a bit flawed, especially if we're talking about kids. My vision is to create at some point an app that will educate kids in their basic needs for math and how they can speak and how they can learn, similar to Duolingo, which is an app that is helping people learn new languages and apply similar elements that they've applied successfully in their business to apply to general education, not only their specific niche.
What do you think is the biggest distinction between, you said what's occurring now doesn't work? I agree with you. But what's the distinction between what's not working and what's working? What would be the number one thing that you would shift in how education is provided?
I think we need to leverage human nature. There's a reason why social media companies and casinos sort of game our human nature against us. And you can also do that in a good way, where you game the human nature, I guess, in our favor by gaming the notification process, gaming the streaks that you get by coming back to the app every day to educate yourself, by gaming different elements that already work in other fields and applying them in a good way, not in a bad way, basically.
Well, you know, you've been a tennis player, you've built multiple companies, and now you're unabashedly on your journey to becoming a billionaire. You are always looking to perform at your highest level. What's one of your personal practices you do on a daily basis so that you're always performing at the highest level?
I have a very good routine in the morning. I typically wake up, meditate. I do the priming meditation from Tony Robbins. I drink a glass of water with a little bit of lemon inside. I meditate, I pray. So I feel like the first 1 hour, 1 hour and a half of the day is mine, and that helps me be at the top of my game for the rest of the day.
So I'm curious, what time do you get up?
Good question. Between 7 to 9, but I do that because I typically work. I go to bed between 2 to 4 in the morning. So because I'm in Romania, I need to sort of overlap my schedule a bit with the US, and I probably even do calls up until 4 a.m. Romania time, which is like 5 p.m. US time.
Got it. Okay. You know, what's a book?
The Diary of a CEO by Stephen Bartlett is a great book that I read recently. Yeah, that I feel like expanded my mind on how I can better delegate. And a quote that I feel like sharing from the book is that your ego will insist that you do. Your potential will insist that you delegate. I feel like most entrepreneurs could delegate a lot more. There's a reason why a lot of people are able to achieve a lot of amazing things. And it's not that they're 10 times smarter than we are. It's because they get amazing teams around and execute on a lot bigger of a scale than we do.
You know, in your business, here you are building it internationally to become a billionaire. What's the biggest challenge you're experiencing right now?
I feel like I need to 10x or 100x what I do in terms of lead generation. To me, scaling a company is a mathematical formula. As a rough idea, I feel like the formula of my company is to get a sale, you need to do 20 to 30 appointments, and need to generate maybe 100 leads. And to do that, you need to do a number of things. So if you want 10 million in sale, that may mean 20 sales, and that may mean a number of appointments and leads. And in order to achieve the targets that I have for the next 2 years, I need to 10x or 100x what I do in terms of lead generation.
You know, if you're interested in Airdromes or you just want to hang out with Dan, maybe, what's the best way for people to reach out to you?
Either on LinkedIn, Dan Lazar, they can easily find me, or Lazar Hero, which is my last name and the word hero. That's my nickname on most social media platforms. Or they can go to our website, heroxairdoms.com, and they'll book an appointment with somebody from the team or myself.
And you know what's coming right now. If you're driving, jogging, you got to be safe and you can't write this down. Go to consciousmillionaireshow.com. Go to today's show, How to Scale Internationally. Click on it. You can go and look at the all the show notes, all the ways, including social media, that you can get in touch with Dan Lazar. That's Lazar. And while you're there, be sure to subscribe and tell your friends about the show. Final question. I've asked this over 3,000 times now. Legacy. When this is all said and done, what's the legacy you want to leave, Dan?
I want a lot of things in terms of legacy. I'll mention one, which is a vision about myself when I'll be 8 years old. I imagine myself doing my 80-year-old birthday at a big place, a palace, a castle somewhere, and inviting my whole family. And I have this vision, or I'll have 100 people in a room that all came from me. So there might be kids, grandkids, grand-grandkids. I feel like having a lot of kids and educating them thoroughly in a good way can really have amazing results, especially if you zoom out and you look at a very long time frame, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years.
You know, I like that. And I don't know why, but it inspired me. I've never asked the question after all these thousands of shows. But what was your favorite fairy tale when you were growing up? The story that you loved to hear over and over?
I probably connected a lot with, Batman and his story. Through the fact that I feel like he didn't have an easy life, and he wasn't bit by a spider like Spider-Man. He became a superhero. No, he leveraged his trauma to become a better version of himself and to use his gifts in a good way, even though at times he was not perfect. So I feel like he's truly a superhero that we could all aspire to. I guess, leverage what didn't happen well in our life to generate positive impact.
Well, and it was also a person of great wealth, lived in this, you know, stately manner, right? And yet Gary was crusading out to make humanity, make the community a better place. And I have to say, it's interesting you chose that because when I grew up, I was really into Halloween, really into Halloween. And 2 years in a row, I was Batman. So Batman was kind of my hero. And I was, you know, I had my cape and everything. And so, you know, so that's really cool. You know, it's been great fun having you here. And I want to thank you again for showing up, not for me or Dan, showing up for yourself. It's time for you to take, that's right, your next step in building the wealth, making the difference, and getting a happy, fulfilled life. We're here to support you in any way that we can. That's what Conscious Millionaire is all about. Dan, thank you so much for being our featured guest today.
Thank you, JV. This was very, very exciting. Thank you.
Are you a founder at 6, 7, even 8 figures, but your profits feel too small, maybe way too small? You're not alone. Most entrepreneurs leave millions on the table. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto, Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll discover the 3 keys to multiply profits and build lasting wealth. Download now. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto and start profiting more now.
Thanks for listening to Consonant Media Podcast Radio Network. The host, producer, and owner of the show, distributor, and broadcast media make no claims the strategy information discussed in the show will result in profits, result in losses. The opinions and advice from the host guests do not represent those or staff, management, or broadcast of the show. No legal, accounting, or financial or health advice is made in the advice of counsel on matters related to financial investment matters for advisors. Always consult your licensed health advisor prior to making changes in your diet, program, implementing a health strategy information discussed, and all information provided may be situation. As always, take responsibility and action. Take responsibility.